Hey, it's Morgan Absher.
And I'm Kaylin Moore.
And we're the hosts of the Crime House original podcast, Clues.
Every Wednesday, we sneak past the crime scene tape and open a new case file for some of the most gripping true crime cases.
Follow and listen to Clues, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jeff Phelps, Tom Withers, in for Andy Baskin today, Dan Menigan behind the glass, and Meredith takes your phone calls, 216-474-0092. If you listened to Andrew Barry's press conference yesterday, and you heard it right here on 92.3 The Fan with the afternoon guys, I'm listening to what he said, Tom. I went back and I read the transcripts as well just to make sure, and I was left with this impression. Is there a chance he's not here this year?
Yeah.
Is there a chance that Judkins doesn't play for this team this year?
I had the same thought, Jeff. Obviously, he said a lot without saying anything, to be honest.
Yeah, there were very few specifics.
Yeah, and clearly, you know, this is an issue with the Browns. It has been for several years now. This is not case number one. This is case number four or five or however many you want to lump together, right? Each one of them is different and should be taken on their own facts and what have you. Yeah, I think, you know, Barry, obviously, I can understand why this dominated the first news conference, because this is the first time that Andrew Barry has been available since the arrest of Judkins, which I think was on July 12th, somewhere in there. So, you know, we haven't learned a whole lot over the last couple of weeks. I think it behooves the Browns to kind of slow play this, especially after the way they handled the Mike Hall Jr. situation last year, which was that suddenly he was back on the field, which was not a good look for anyone. This is all done then, as I mentioned before, kind of in the backdrop of the Deshaun Watson situation. Again, not that they're the same thing, but obviously same team.
Yep.
I did think it was good that some reporters kind of tried to hold the Browns at least a little bit accountable in terms of their process and vetting and, you know, what are you guys looking at and doing before you draft these guys? Clearly there were no red flags with Quinshon Judkins, which is why they drafted him. And, you know, some of the other comments that Barry made were interesting as well in terms of, you know, educating players on domestic abuse, the fact that they've had, you know, women come into camp over the last couple of years to speak to players. whole other topic. There's a whole other layer of education here, Jeff, that is part of this story as well. But to your earlier point here, yeah, I think we might be a long way away from seeing him on the field this summer.
Did you get that feeling too?
I did. I really did. Yeah. I think it was from a PR standpoint, a smart play by Barry in to show that they are taking this very seriously. Not that they haven't in the past, but the fact is when you have another new situation, it makes everybody pause.
Here's one of the things that Andrew Barry said about the Quinshon Judkins situation. And of course, he's not in camp. There's no word when he will be in camp. He's not under contract. And there have been no definitives from the law enforcement community in Florida either, other than the fact that he was arrested.
And clearly nothing from the league at this point, because they're also gathering information.
Yep. Here's Andrew Barry.
When this happens with a player, these incidents, they become, you know, very, very highly public. Our view is our primary responsibility, our initial responsibility as an organization is gather as much information, and particularly quality information, you know, as possible. Even though it's a, you know, a highly public incident, you know, rarely does all the information become public or easily accessible.
Which makes sense. They have to find out exactly what's at the root of this. Tom, who knows if they were caught off guard? Who knows? Should they have been caught off guard? Whatever. They're dealing with this now. You mentioned all of the folks who were brought in to talk to the players about things. We want to touch on that in a bit. One thing I think that separates this from Mike Hall's situation last year is that Mike Hall was under contract. Quinshon is not under contract, and I wonder if that has anything to do with why the situation is sitting where it is right now.
It's certainly an interesting wrinkle, isn't it? It obviously gives the Browns, I don't want to say leverage is the wrong word, but obviously it, you know, there's no reason why he has to be rushed onto the field here. There's no, you know, there's no breach of contract on their side in terms of, you know, banning him from the field or anything like that. It's just a, it's a wait and see. And it's a, from a football standpoint, Jeff, it's a tough wait and see because of what we've talked about before, which is how important he was viewed to what this team is going to try to do this year. So this could be a day-to-day thing. It could be a week-to-week thing. This could take us you know, up to close to the start of the season before we get any kind of resolution.
Though I said I kind of got the feeling a little bit that I just wondered, will he be with this team this year? I would have to guess that he is at some point. I would think.
I would think so, too. You know, after we talked to some reporters last week, you know, I'd forgotten about the commissioner's exempt list, which is kind of like a holding pen, if you will, for these kinds of situations. So, you know, the league is going to have to do something at some point, but I think they will be probably the third to respond here. We're probably going to find out a little bit more from the legal standpoint, from the Brown standpoint, before we hear anything from the league.
Here's Barry on Quinshon's contract and what might have already been down the road contractually with Quinshon Judkins.
In general, obviously the second round was unique this year. Now it's pretty well slotted. Whether there's a formal framework in place, like maybe the technical answer is no, but in terms of where that slot should land, that's yes, that's pretty straightforward.
So in other words, even though he's not signed, Tom,
they know what he's going to sign for.
Right. All of those second round guys were trying to get guaranteed money, and it's starting to look like everybody knows what everybody's going to get, and he's one of the few guys now not signed. So,
and good luck getting any guaranteed money now.
Well,
I mean, that's the other thing.
Exactly.
Again, I'm not trying to, I'm not jumping to any conclusions here, but
no, but if you're the Browns,
it's got to be factored in, right?
Yeah. At this point, he doesn't have his leverage went out the window.
Yeah.
You know, now, he can still say, well, I want this and whatever. And the Browns can say no.
Yeah.
Well, then what's he going to do?
And listen, I don't want to pile on the Browns here, but obviously from an optics standpoint, Jeff, this is just another one of these situations. You know, I ran into several fans this week and, you know, a lot of them take this very personally and I get it. You know, this is a serious charge. And again, when you think about, you know, Kareem Hunt, Deshaun Watson, Winfrey and Perry. Is that his name?
Perry and Winfrey.
Yeah. Mike Hall Jr. Now this, you know, as one fan said to me this year, like, enough is enough. I can't take this anymore. You know, we want to cheer for a team that we respect as not only as players, but as people. And this is not to broad brushstroke, because there are some fantastic people not only playing for the Browns, but working for the Browns. And you don't want to, you know, lump everybody together. But, you know, Barry was in a tough spot yesterday. I thought he handled it pretty well. But it's time they get this stuff cleaned up.
Tom, it's strange because you mentioned Perrion Winfrey. He played for the team for a year and then was released after an incident in Cleveland. And he was a fourth-round pick. And you have Mike Hall, second-round pick. Quinshon Judkins, second-round pick. Okay, something happens once, young guys doing bad things. Something happens twice, well, that's odd coincidence. Three times in the last four drafts with guys second, and fourth round picks.
Yeah.
That's not good. And could it be just dumb luck? Yeah, maybe. On the other hand,
though, Jeff, that's why I think Barry is saying you got to take a step back here and analyze.
Yeah.
Are we doing the right things here?
All right. But are you looking past some things that are sitting there that you shouldn't look past, maybe? You know,
that's a great point.
That's the issue that I have with it. Maybe there are certain things that other teams would say, yeah, we can find another guy that can do the same things on the football field. Let's take that guy without that little concern. I'm not even going to say it's a red flag, but if it's just like, well, there's this,
right?
But let's take him anyway, rather than, well, this guy's, there's nothing, let's take him. And maybe they need to rethink that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, they're not the only team that's dealing with this,
no.
Jeff. But I would like to know, and I would like to see that study actually, to see how many teams have had to your point, you know, three of these incidents now within 2 years, right?
Four, including Devin Bush. You know? So
forgot to mention that as well.
Yeah.
And you know, he
wasn't a draft choice, but he was signed as a free agent and expected to be a key guy. And he was last year and expected to be key this year.
Right. So, and I didn't mean to interrupt there.
No.
Let me say.
There's no interrupting, Tom. Step on me all you want. I'm used to Andy and he's used to me.
You know, I think I know Andrew Berry well enough to know that he's a good man and a good family man. And I think his comments here are genuine and sincere in that they want to get to the bottom of this, Jeff. I think, again, there are good people over there, and the Browns don't want to deal with any of this stuff, but they also don't want to make the same mistake again. And I know it sounds like I'm speaking out of both sides of my mouth there, because they have made the same mistake now 2 years in a row. But let's hope this is the last one we see of these forever. And I know that's probably not realistic, but can only hope.
What would you think, folks, if Quinshon Judkins doesn't play for this team this year? What would you think if he comes in after he's suspended and comes in the middle of the season? And what do you think of the track record that's on display here? I agree with Tom. I think there's some really, and this means something to Tom, it means something to me. I think there's some really good people who are running the football operations of this team and coaching this football team. That doesn't mean that they're hitting on these things, and maybe there's something they're doing that's terribly wrong that's leading them to draft guys who might be in position to do things that get them in big trouble, because we've seen it. 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps with Tom Withers right here on The Fan.
Hey, it's Morgan Absher.
And I'm Kaylin Moore.
And we're the hosts of the Crime House original podcast, Clues.
Every Wednesday, we sneak past the crime scene tape and open a new case file for some of the most gripping true crime cases.
Follow and listen to Clues, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Browns are in training camp. Things are going. There's no Quinshon Judkins. Stay tuned. We'll see what that's all about. And, you know, hopefully maybe the allegations are inaccurate and he's able to get here and play, and maybe we don't see him. So still to be determined there. Also to be determined, who's the quarterback of this team and how many quarterbacks are on the team? And Andrew Berry was asked about that yesterday. Here's what he had to say about maybe keeping all four of these guys.
Do you see a pathway to have four on the opening day roster?
I do. We've largely looked at the last five spots of a roster as more developmental spots, and that can come from any position. I also think with the roster flexibility nowadays, especially with like the elevations that you're able to have on the practice squad, there's just more flexibility in terms of how to build your 48-man game day roster, where it's maybe not as quite as restrictive in the past. There have been teams that have carried four, so if there are four that are 53-man worthy, and we think it makes the most sense for us to keep them, we will.
Tom Withers?
That would not have been the way I would have phrased that question. It would have been, who the hell keeps four quarterbacks on their roster? And this is obviously the only team in the league that's got a four-quarterback competition going on. Although
it looks great on NFL.com put the four shots of the four guys there. I mean, that's a lot of orange.
Talk about mystery date, right? I mean, this is... Yeah,
that was their lead story yesterday. It was the training camp battles we're watching. Hey, by golly, there's Joe, and there's Kenny, and there's Dylan, and there's Shadur, all in their orange helmets and all in their orange jerseys.
That's too good.
A lot of orange.
I've broken this. This is easy to say. I mean, everybody's kind of talked about it in these terms as well. It's two different competitions that are going on. I think it's Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett obviously fighting for the starting job. Dylan Gabriel and Shadur Sanders trying to position themselves to be next in line, whether that's a backup to begin the year or down the road or what have you, but it's about their development this year as well. So we'll see where this goes. I think it's been interesting that there've been kind of, it was going to be fascinating anyway to see the way they divvied the reps up, right? And I know that Stefanski made a big deal on day one of saying, you know, don't look too deeply into that. And we won't, except we will, because that's the way, that's what we got to do here.
That's what we're doing.
During these opening weeks of camp, if you will. I don't think things are going to really shake out, Jeff. I know Kevin said that they'd like to have this decision made sooner than later. I don't think any of this gets shaken out until, you know, we get past a couple of those joint practices. They're with the Eagles and the Panthers, I believe, right, this summer. So I'm going to hopefully get out there this weekend to get my own viewpoint. But I was speaking today with Scott Petrak, a friend of show and the fine writer for the Illyria Chronicle.
You got and, a ding for Petrak.
Yeah,
nice.
he, you know, I was just kind of like picking his brain a little bit on what he's seen out there. And he's been, you know, like I was, a little interested in that Flacco's not necessarily getting a ton of reps right now. Now, that could be because he is 40 and they want to keep him as fresh as possible. And it's also because...
Hey, Joe, here's a lawn chair. Enjoy.
Yeah. And it's all to your point, it's also because Joe Flacco's been in the league for 406 years and doesn't need the reps, right? And they need to distribute those between the other three guys. So I know, Jeff, that you feel like if Kenny Pickett can show that he's a notch above Joe Flacco, that he should get the starting job. And I think that. And I don't disagree with that. I just feel like, though, like even...
And if they're comparable, I would go with the young
the
guy.
Nod. I would agree with you. I would.
And if Joe just flat out outplays Pickett and everybody else, then he should start. He should.
I'm with you. And I think...
But let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
This is... And I, your comment is right. Who the hell keeps four quarterbacks?
Yeah.
I do have an answer for it. A team that doesn't have a quarterback.
That's a great point.
And likes all four of these guys for various reasons and isn't sure that they won't succeed in the league.
Yeah.
So that's to me the only reason. Tom, I would hate to see them say, you know what? Pickett's, you know, he's the one we... So we're going to get rid of him. We're going to trade him. And then he goes and he's pretty good somewhere else, either as a backup or whatever. Because you need a backup too. Dylan Gabriel. Yeah, he's shown some things. But we like Shadur. We're going to keep the two vets and going to give up our third round pick. And we'll get a fourth back for him. Well, why would you do that? You drafted the guy in the third. I would think if you have all four of these guys in camp and you see attributes in each of these guys that you like, why would you get rid of one of those guys and keep, say, a ninth defensive back to cover punts?
Fair.
I mean, what would possibly be more valuable to your team? A quarterback who you could either play or trade if he is able to show that he can do some things, or an extra guy to cover kicks.
So my headline off your comments is, Phelps wants Browns to play all four quarterbacks.
Every one of them.
Get them out there. I'll add to your backdrop here a team, oh, by the way, that has two first-round draft picks next year. And I know people don't want to start thinking about, you know, 2026 yet. However, that's the reality of it. That's what you got to think about as well, especially if you don't feel like any of these four are the guy going forward.
Would you agree with this? I sit here right now. I know they have two first-round picks next year. Who knows where they will be, and who knows if they would package them to move up. I can't imagine the Browns not selecting a quarterback next year in the first round of the draft. I can't imagine them not, even if
Dylan,
if they find a guy this year that they think
still going to take a quarterback.
They're still going to take a quarterback.
I would tend to agree with that. Except if somehow Jeremiah Smith figures out a way to get out of college and come back to the NFL. I'm still waiting for somebody to fight that rule, by the way, and it's going to take a special player like him to be able to do it. So,
the Ohio State wide receiver.
We shall see. But, you know, here we are. You know, nothing has been resolved at this point. It's going to be interesting to see, again, over the next couple of days especially, how these reps are divvied up. Scott was telling me that, you know, Sanders is just... He's not getting many opportunities right now. And, you know, there could be a lot of reasons for that, right? I think they want to kind of slow play him, if you will, you know, really develop him, bringing him along slowly. He's not as far along as Dylan Gabriel. He can't be. Dylan Gabriel played 6 years of college football, right, at the highest level.
At a high level.
And was as good as anybody in the game. So, you know, we'll see. I've been told as well by others that, you know, Sanders looks the part out there, but he also looks a little bit of a tick slow at times. And he has yet to go against the Browns first team defense. He's yet to go against a full on pass rush, which is something that not only did he struggle with, but the Colorado offensive line struggled with over the last couple of years. So, we'll see. Like I, like you said, Jeff, you've got four quarterbacks. You like a little bit of each of them, and we'll see how things shake out.
I'm real curious to see what these guys look like in the preseason, Tom, and if they decide to move on from one of them.
Yeah.
Why? You know, why would
Good
you
point.
Move on from one of them
at
this point? Because you drafted the guys for a reason. I would think you want to get more of a look at them than just training camp. And then, you know, you'd have to be convinced that one of them could step in as the backup quarterback if Flacco or Pickett
one of the kids,
is dispatched.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, and that might be a little scary.
It would be.
I mean, what? Let's just say they decide to move on from Pickett. Okay? They trade Kenny. They get a fifth rounder for him, something like that, because you're not going to get a lot in return. And Flacco goes out.
Or a linebacker or a running back.
Right. Maybe a quarterback for a linebacker. And Flacco goes out. He's 40 years old. He pulls a hamstring, and he's out 2 months. Then all of a sudden, your quarterbacks are a rookie and a rookie. Okay, well, at that moment, Tom,
yeah.
Then it's like, so who are we thinking in 2026?
Exactly.
What are we going to do?
Right.
And, you know, is P.J. Walker still available? He can come in and help these guys. Yeah. Or there sits DeSean. And
oh yeah,
let me throw that back into this.
I was, you know, when I was talking to Scott today, if I was a betting man, and I'm not, I think Joe Flacco is going to be the week one starter just based on the way things are currently positioned. And, you know, the other thing too, Jeff, and I know it doesn't mean anything in terms of touchdowns or completions or anything like that. Just seeing Joe Flacco yesterday speak to the media brought a calming presence
to
everything. Isn't he a pro?
What a pro, yeah.
I can remember when he first got here. I remember after our first news conference with him. Now, mind you, this was during the heat and the heart of the Deshaun Watson mess, right? And so we had done our first interview session with Joe Flacco, and he turned, you know, the microphones are turned off, what have you, tape recorders. He kind of walks away from the group, and then he comes back over and introduced himself to several of us. I wanted to hug the guy. I was like, after all we've been through here, we finally got another
Joe,
adult in the room. Yeah.
How about this?
Joe Flacco.
This is really nice.
A little bit of news, gentlemen, real quick.
And, oh, boy.
And Tom.
Breaking.
Enjoy this with me.
Uh-oh.
Go ahead. Browns have signed a wide receiver, Jeff.
Please tell me.
Winston Wright is the gentleman's name. He is a 5'10 wide receiver, undrafted from East Carolina.
Okay. I wish him well.
Here's your helmet, kid. Get out there.
I wish him well. I was so hoping you're going to make my day and say DJ Chark. Or make my hour and say Keenan Allen. Or make my hour and say Amari Cooper.
And this is like every college player now. He spent time in West Virginia, Florida State, East Carolina. It's amazing how these guys get around these days, right? NIL and the transfer portal.
Isn't it weird?
Very.
I you know, well, look at Dylan Gabriel. I mean, between Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders, you
schools.
Have five colleges.
Yeah. That's right.
Joe Flacco went to two. That was going way back.
Days are gone, right?
Kenny Pickett, one guy, one school. Hey, where'd he go, Kenny?
Yeah.
That's the way to do it. Yesterday, along with talking about Quinshon Judkins for about 60% of his press conference, the Shedeur Sanders speeding violation topic came up with Andrew Berry.
And not smart.
Here's the response.
Just not smart. And it's something that we've addressed with him. You know, he understands the implications. He understands the consequences. It's not just about yourself. Having a joyride is not just about, you know, driving a car really fast, but it's about the fact that you can endanger other people. It's about the fact that if a deer or someone, you know, cuts out in front of you, like your reaction time, it's just dangerous. And it's not something that we want our guys to be doing. It's not something that they should be doing. The number one reason is because we don't want some type of catastrophic accident. Like, right, we saw that, you know, 2 years ago in, what was it, Dallas or Houston with a, you know, with a player.
And then there was the situation in Las Vegas as well with Henry Ruggs. So, I mean, we all know driving at that type of speed is not good, but it seemed like, boy, Andrew Berry really hammered that home yesterday.
Yeah.
And did that give him an opportunity to say, yeah, Shedeur is here and we're bringing him along slowly, Tom? Or was that just a regular answer to a regular question that had to be asked?
I think more of the latter. Right? Yeah. I think it was just a, you know, it's funny. Somebody had sparked my memory the other day, and I went back and looked. In 2008, our old friend LeBron James was pulled over on 71.
On 71.
For doing 101 as well. I don't know if it was the same arresting trooper or not. Yeah. But and he kind of learned his lesson. Listen, these guys drive fast. Everybody needs to slow down, right? I can recall there was a time I was driving to Berea for practice and over in the Brook Park area there by the airport. And I looked into my rearview mirror and there was what I could see was already a Range Rover because I could see it on the front grille changing lanes and passing cars like they were all standing still. And as the Range Rover passed me, I looked over and saw that it was Braylon Edwards. So when I got to camp that day,
went over to him.
I went over to Braylon Edwards and I said, "Hey, I'm not your dad, but I want you to tell you something. You need to slow down." And he kind of looked at me like, "Really, dude? Who are you?" And then I had about a 5 or 10 minute conversation with him about just the dangers of driving. And I know this is what goes on with coaches and with other players and telling these young guys that you've got to behave. One slight error and you flip your car and you end up like Myles Garrett a couple of years ago and lucky to be walking away with your life.
Yeah.
So it is a serious issue. And I know that, I thought Andrew handled it, appropriately yesterday, and you hope that Shador slows down a little bit and we can all move on.
Bill Barnwell is a terrific writer, does deep analysis stuff for ESPN. He has a piece out that says all under pressure team in the NFL, I was stunned at which Brown is on it. It's next on Baskin and Phelps. Tom Withers in for Andy.
Hey, it's Morgan Absher.
And I'm Kaylin Moore.
And we're the hosts of the Crime House original podcast, Clues.
Every Wednesday, we sneak past the crime scene tape and open a new case file for some of the most gripping true crime cases.
Follow and listen to Clues, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.